Please turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 2. Luke, chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. Luke, chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And our subject this morning is the angel's song of peace. Well, we come this Christmas morning to an account of the events that take place on the very night when the Lord Jesus Christ was born. And this is, of course, what we remember at this time of year, on this day, the true meaning of Christmas. It is to remember Christ. It is to remember who he is and what he means to us, to remember the significance of his birth. What does it mean? And, to know that his birth, all those years ago, over 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem in Judea, this birth has something to do with us, with each and every one of us gathered here. This birth that we will consider this morning has something to do with you. But this, just to give some context, this is a familiar scene for us. We read in chapter 2, about Mary and Joseph, and they travel to Bethlehem, the city of David, to be taxed. And Mary, we read, is great with child. It is not long before she will give birth. And indeed, while they are in Bethlehem, the time comes. Verse 6, "And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." Well, you know these things very well. The infant babe, the Lord Jesus, wrapped in swaddling clothes, strips of cloth, which were often used in those days to wrap a newborn infant and lay him in a manger. That's what Mary and Joseph did. And that in itself is an amazing thing. The Lord Jesus Christ laid in a manger. A manger, I remind you, is a place where animals would eat, a feeding trough for the animals. And we could spend a lot of time thinking about that. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy One of God, came from heaven. That holy, spotless place came down from heaven to earth. Where is he laid? In a manger. In a feeding trough where the animals eat, in an unclean place. What remarkable condescension the Lord God has shown to us. What remarkable humility. Why, we read, do we not, in the letter to the Philippians, the Apostle Paul writes that when the Lord came, when he was made in the likeness of men, he humbled himself. He humbled himself. And one of the greatest places where we see his humility is right at the start. He comes from heaven, that glorious place. He's laid in a manger where the animals eat. We would never lay our children there, our newborn babes there. But the living God, the incarnate God, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's wrapped in swaddling clothes, laid in a manger. But then we hear about the shepherds abiding in the field, verse 8, keeping watch over their flock by night, as they always did. It was an ordinary night for them until something extraordinary happens. And that we read of in verses 9 and 10. "Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." What an incredible sight that would have been. "But the angel said unto them," in verse 10, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. Well, again, we could spend a lot of time on this. I just touch on it. But isn't it amazing that it is the shepherds, a lowly group of shepherds, who are told first about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ? They receive the good news first, that a Savior has been born, the Messiah, the one who had been prophesied in the Old Testament, the one whom God would send to be our Savior. It's the shepherds who are told first. So amazing, the lowly shepherds. The Lord does not send the angel to the temple, to the religious men, to the scribes, to the Pharisees. No, he sends the angel to the shepherds. And by the way, shepherds, they were very marginalized in society. They were on the outskirts of society. You would keep your distance from shepherds. Shepherds who just watch over animals all day, out in the fields all day. If you were somebody respectable, you wouldn't associate with shepherds. They were the outcasts of society. But you know, this is what the gospel is. The gospel is sent to everybody, even the marginalized, even those who are overlooked by everybody else. The gospel is not just for religious people, for churchgoers. The gospel is for all people, in every generation, in every time of history. The gospel message goes out to the shepherds first, the marginalized, the overlooked. And so the gospel is for everyone. The gospel is for you this morning. But then what happens? Well, then the angel who gives this good news to the shepherds, well, suddenly he's joined by a whole multitude. Verse 13, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, many angels, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That is the song of the angels, a very famous portion of scripture. It is perhaps more commonly known, or you may have heard it known, as Gloria Excelsis Deo. That is the name for the hymn that the angels sing. It's taken from the Latin Vulgate translation of the Bible, and it's literally the Latin translation of glory to God in the highest. Gloria Excelsis Deo. And so the angels begin their song with glory to God, praise to God, objective praise. Glory to God in the highest. Well, of course, God is the Most High. God dwells in heaven, the most high place. And from his dwelling place in heaven, he can see all things. He knows all things. He rules over all things. Glory to God in the highest. That's what it means. There is nobody who rules over God. Nobody is higher than God. He is the Most High. That's what the angels are saying. Glory to God in the highest. The angels begin with objective praise to God. But then, and this is what I want to focus on this morning, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Peace is what the angels sing of, and goodwill toward men. And what I want to do this morning, just very briefly, this Christmas day, is just to endeavor to work out, what is this peace? What is this peace that the angels are singing of? Well, the first thing we must be sure of, and this is what the angels are affirming, is that true peace can only come from God. They've established that. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Peace can only come from God, not from the earth, not from the world, but from God. And this is taught throughout the scriptures. There's a glorious verse in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 26, verse 3. And Isaiah says of God, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Perfect peace can only be found when our mind is fixed on God, when we turn away from the things of this world, the chaos of this world, and seek the Lord, and focus all our attention on Him, then we will have peace, if our mind is fixed upon Him. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the babe born in Bethlehem, the Son of God, He has been sent by God the Father for peace, to bring peace to men. Again, in the book of Isaiah, one of the titles given to the Lord Jesus Christ in prophecy is Prince of Peace. That's what He is, the Prince of Peace. And we read from John chapter 14 earlier, remember what the Lord said to His disciples. Verse 27 of chapter 14, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He promises peace to His disciples, a peace that the world cannot give, He says, because only God is the source of peace. Man cannot provide peace. That is obvious. Despite all of man's best efforts, despite all of man's ideas, all his plans, all his schemes to make peace on the earth, they have come to nothing. They have come to failure. Indeed, it seems, and this seems to be the way when I observe it, it seems to me that modern man has given up on peace. You often used to hear about people seeking world peace. Let's try and make plans for world peace. You don't hear that so much nowadays. Now it's just social issues or climate change. Hardly anybody speaks about trying to find world peace because we know it's not really possible. We've lived long enough. History has passed long enough for us to realize world peace, you cannot achieve it. So peace by men, it cannot be achieved. But what are the reasons? Why is that the case? Why is there peace with God or from God, but there is no peace from men or with men? Well, one of the reasons, and we've been looking at this in our midweek Bible studies, in our studies in the book of Revelation, we have a view of heaven, of the throne of God in chapter 4. And around the throne of God, the angels are singing another song, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And you know, this is why there is peace with God, because God is holy. The holiness of God, His greatest attribute, He is set apart because He is so pure, so righteous, no hint of wickedness at all. He is everlasting light, no darkness in Him. And that is why there is peace. Peace with God, because He is holy. Where there is holiness, where there is no sin, there is peace. But on the earth, well, it's completely different. With men, it's completely different. God is holy, man is unholy. And that's why there's no peace on earth. Why is there no peace in the world? Well, it's because of man's sin. Why are there wars? Why is there crime? Why is there injustice? Why is there violence? It's because of man's sin. It's because of man's aggression, because of man's violence, because of man's covetousness, because of man's lust for power, and so on. If man was not like that, if there was no sin, there would be peace in the world. But man is sinful. Therefore, in this world, there is no peace. And well, the Bible goes on to say, of course, that we are all sinners, not just some men. We like to attribute all sin to just a few men, just a few wicked men, a few wicked dictators. But we are all sinners. That's what the Bible says. Teaches us, and sin, well, it takes away the peace of every single one of us. You know, the natural man, the man without God, He never has true peace, no matter who he is. He never has true peace, inner peace in his soul. I've often said that the things that trouble us the most, the things that give us the most sorrow, they are not the things that other people have done to us. It's the things that we have done. The sins that we have committed, they are the things that trouble us the most. They are the things that take away our peace. If we had conducted ourselves wonderfully throughout our whole lives, it doesn't matter what other people would have done to us. We would be at peace. But dear friends, we know that we have sinned. We know that we have done things wrong. It's the secrets that we have in our hearts that trouble us, not the secrets of other people, the secrets of ourselves, what we have done. We have a conscience. Every single one of us, we have a conscience. And our conscience tells us when we have sinned, when we do those things that are wrong, it troubles us. It takes away our peace, the conscience within us. And there are sins upon the conscience of every single one of us. Sin in our lives, sin in our hearts. These things trouble us. They take away our peace. No man has peace without God in our lives, without the Lord Jesus Christ and his saving power. But before we speak of the Lord, let me give you another reason why there is no true peace on the earth, no true peace amongst men. And that is because, well, very simply, because we are mortal beings. We're mortal beings. We do not live forever. We die. Each and every one of us will come to the end of our lives. And let me ask you, how can we have peace? How can we have true peace when there is death ahead of us, when there is death hanging over us? How can you really have true peace? Death, of course, is sure, it's certain, it's inevitable. It's not maybe you will die one day, it's you will definitely die one day. It's not a possibility, this is something that will happen. So how can you have peace, true peace, when you know that death will most certainly come your way? And furthermore, you never know when death is going to arrive. You don't know how long you have left. You could have a very short time left. You sometimes hear, or very often you hear, of very sad stories. People who are in the prime of their lives, young, healthy, they think they have many years left to live, and then suddenly their lives are cut off very suddenly. How can we have peace when we know death is in the world, it's inevitable, and we don't even know when it's going to come? You can't have true peace when there is death in the world. And then, of course, well, let me just mention this. Then there's that big question, what happens after death? That takes away people's peace. What happens after I die? Is there a more troubling thought than that? What happens throughout eternity? Where will I spend eternity? How can you have true peace when you don't know these things? But dear friends, this is why Christ has come, to give us that peace that the world cannot give, to give us that assurance for all those who believe in him, that assurance of everlasting life. You know, when Christ was born into the world, this is the gift that God was giving us, peace and everlasting life, life forever with God. We read this elsewhere in the New Testament, 1 John 5, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. This is what we receive when we receive Christ, when we think of Christ being born into the world, everlasting life. That's what every believer has an assurance of, that when they come to the end of their lives, they have nothing to fear. There is no fear of death. There is no sting in death. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? That gives us peace because we trust in Christ. We have everlasting life in him. And it's only Christ who can give us that kind of peace. You cannot find it anywhere else. And this is the peace that the angels are speaking of. But we must believe in Christ in order to have this peace. It's not simply enough to just hear about it. You must believe. You must have faith in what Christ has done. What he has done to purchase that peace for us. Every believer knows, every Christian knows that the peace that they have has come at a cost, has come at a price. We often speak about peace coming at a cost when we think of the world wars of the 20th century. We think of all those men who laid down their lives. They had to pay the ultimate cost, but it was so that peace would be obtained. They laid down their lives. Yes, it was a sacrifice, but it was to obtain peace. Peace came, but at a cost. And well, it's the same with the Lord Jesus Christ. The peace that we know in our lives, it's only because Christ has died, because he has shed his blood. That's how we know we have peace. Christ had to suffer and die so that we can have peace, peace with God. This is something we haven't mentioned before in this message. Ultimately, what a Christian means when he speaks about peace, it's not really peace in his life. I live a very peaceful life. It's about peace with God. He has peace with God. Do you have peace with God? That's the great question. The Bible again teaches us that because of our sin, we are not right with God. We are not at peace with God. Because of our sins, the sins that we have all committed, we are separated from God. We are opposed to God, at enmity with him. And how can peace be obtained? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ has made that peace for us. We must have peace with God. If we don't find peace with God, well, we stand to be judged by God, punished by God for our sins. But Christ has come to take that punishment upon himself. That's what Christ did on the cross of Calvary. We who are sinners, we who are at enmity with God, we stand to be punished, but Christ has come and suffered in our place, our substitute, our scapegoat. Lord, punish me instead of them. I love my people. I will die for them. That's what Christ did. He suffered the wrath of God for our sins so that we may have peace with God. That's what Christ has done. And so this is what we think of when we think of the birth of Christ. You know, the angels, when they came on this night, yes, they are singing about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, but they're actually looking further ahead than that. When they're speaking of peace, they're singing about what Christ will do at the very end of his life. It's only the death of Christ that can atone for our sin. It's not the birth of Christ, great and glorious as that is. It's the death of Christ that truly gives us peace with God. So the angels are looking ahead. Peace on earth, peace toward men, that can only be achieved by Calvary. And that is why Christ came into the world. He was born for that purpose, and that purpose was gloriously accomplished. Do you know that peace, dear friends? I begin to draw to conclusion, but I have to ask you, do you have that peace? This is true peace, eternal peace, everlasting peace. The world can't give you that. The best that the world can give you is a temporary peace. You can have peace some of the time, but not all of the time. That's the best the world can give you. God gives you everlasting peace. Peace that no man can take from you. This is the peace that is offered to you by God. You must respond to this message. You must know this peace. You must seek the Lord. Well, just look at these shepherds. Let's just look at the passage before we close. Verse 15, it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us, even the lowly shepherds. And well, you know what happened. They found Mary and Joseph, the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. But look at verse 20. This is very interesting. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. The shepherds, well, they received that message. They received the message about the Christ child, the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. They went, and it was exactly how the angels had told them. It was exactly how God had communicated to them. God had spoken the truth to them. They went and they sought, and they found that there was no disappointment. It was exactly how God had said. And dear friends, that's the message to each and every one of us here. If you hear the message and you go and seek God for yourself, seek Christ for yourself, it will be exactly as God has told you. You will have perfect peace in your heart. You will know glorious joy in your life that you've never known before. You will know the forgiveness of all your sins. You will know that you are right with God. You will have all your fear taken away. Fear of death, fear of sin, it's all gone. And you will have that glorious eternity, everlasting life. You will see. You will see it just as God has told us. It will be exactly as he has presented to us. Just as the shepherds went, it was exactly the same. That's the promise. I can say that in full confidence. How can you turn it away? The promise of perfect peace. Peace that the world cannot give. Peace that the angels sang of so gloriously. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. There's only one way to have peace this Christmas and in the new year. It's by coming to the Lord Jesus Christ and seeking him.